Well, thank you, Barbara. I just pray that God will use this text and my message to encourage us in our faith journeys and our discipleship. God has placed us in this world for a purpose. And the purpose really is to share and spread His love wherever we go. So, speaking of that, let me turn this thing on so I could use this slide presentation. Yep. The heck with it. I want to ask you something. Would you agree that it appears that there is so much disunity and anger and dysfunction in our world today? I mean, seriously, it's become a very tension-filled society in which we live. We cannot turn on the evening news or open a daily newspaper without seeing commentary or remarks that are based on negativity. The other day I was watching a particular segment of news, and I would guess, I didn't quantify it, but I would guess 75% of the entire report was based on negative reporting. We live in a very polarized and divided world today, and that's sad in many ways. It's a shame I can't get this thing to work, but it's not working. That's all right. Anyhow, I believe that in many ways, the stuff that we're fed on a daily basis is toxic. It makes us uptight. One time I even decided for Lent to fast from watching television. The entire Lenten season, I didn't watch TV. And you know what? I read more books. I spent more quality time doing things that were constructive. So maybe that's something we should all try. But how do we cope in such a negative environment? What effect is it having on us personally and collaterally with the people we encounter on a daily basis? I want to tell you, people are on such edge today that it doesn't take a whole lot to push people over the edge. And we see that in all sectors of our society today. I want to give you an example. You know I talk about Sunrise Highway a lot. You want to talk about tension. Did you know it's the most dangerous road in all of New York State? Yeah, there are more accidents and fatalities on Sunrise Highway than any other road. I think the Southern State Parkway is number two. So much for us guys living on the South Shore. But I was in the fast lane, and I was listening to some great music, and I really wasn't paying attention. Now, I'm in church, I was going a little over the speed limit, but I was really keeping up with the flow of traffic, and I wasn't paying attention to my environment. When I looked in my rearview mirror, I saw a Lexus that I thought was attached to me by a trailer. He was an inch from my bumper. So I immediately pulled over to the center lane to let him pass. He pulled up alongside of me. He rolled down his window and he waved at me with a certain finger. And I'm not going to say which one it is. But for the sake of church, let's say it was this. And he was shouting at me all of these unintelligible comments that I couldn't understand what he was saying, but his face was as red as a tomato. And all of a sudden, boom, he took off at the speed of light. Now, there was no doubt in my mind he was headed to work. And all I kept saying, Lord, I hope he's not a brain surgeon. Could you imagine this guy showing up at the OR in that state of mind? But that's what I experienced on Sunrise Highway, going west near Sayville. So if you see a Lexus, it's black, be careful. Tension, unrest, hypersensitivity, unmanaged anger appears to have embedded itself in our society today in proportions. And by the way, I could say I've been on this earth a long time now. I have never seen it this bad in my entire life as it is today. People on edge with one another. Nations on edge with one another. Government on edge with one another. So listen, I don't want to leave you in a state of mind, we're baptizing Bryson today. We've got to be upbeat. But I want you to hold on to that thought for a moment because I believe there's hope and we'll come back to it in a moment. But let's take a look at the text that Barbara just read from the book of Titus. Paul writes to do whatever is good. Think about that. And I would surmise, and I'm not judging him, I believe the driver of that Lexus either never read this passage or forgot about it. And then he goes on to say, don't slander anyone. Don't speak ill of anyone. Be peaceable and be considerate toward those around you, toward others, he writes. Peaceable, considerate toward others. You know, there was a word when I was growing up, and I heard it many times. I don't hear it much anymore. It's a word, civility. And it's so missing in our society today. I looked up the word civility, and it simply means this, to be polite, to be courteous in our behavior and our speech. Now, we're in the tech age. That also includes Facebook, emails, and Twitter accounts. Be considerate, polite, and courteous in the way we treat other people. So it appears that that's missing in our society today. Being civil toward one another, being considerate toward one another, being polite toward one another, being peaceable toward one another. And here's the great news. It doesn't cost us anything to do it. It doesn't cost us a nickel to be polite and courteous and kind toward the people around us. Now, may I suggest this? We should still be able to get along with each other in spite of our differences. So what? I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent. I don't care if you like the Yankees or the Mets. Well, actually, I do care. If you're not for the Yankees, I am not your friend. You understand that? But to be considerate, no matter what our differences may be, civility toward one another. Have you noticed that people who work in a considerate and kind workplace want to get up and go to work every day? Have you ever worked in a place where people weren't kind and considerate? And you didn't want to go to work in the morning. You dragged yourself out of bed. You went to work. You couldn't wait until you could clock out because the place was toxic and inconsiderate. Have you ever noticed that when families are immersed in love and kindness, there's stability in those families? There's security in those families? There's something beautiful about the environment. My wife and I, and I've shared this many times, we love going down to the Great South Bay. And I've often said it's one of the blessings living on the South Shore is that in 5 minutes, you could be on this beautiful body of water, the Great South Bay. My wife and I love sitting there, having a cup of coffee, watching the ferries go in and out, watching private boaters, kayakers, and it's just so peaceful to sit there. Now, I made an observation. It's not scientific, so don't call National Geographic. I watched seagulls for an entire hour. Seagulls. This was my observation. I watched them fighting for an entire hour. They chased each other off each other's perch. Now, mind you, there were 20 other perches, but this one had to come in, scream, chase the other one off so it could take that perch. I watched them fighting over a mussel. It looked like a gang war to get to that mussel. I even watched them shouting at each other. I can't read or understand seagull. But I guarantee you there was some profanity in that exchange. You've heard them before. Arr, arr, yeah, that's what you hear. And I thought to myself, these birds must be watching the 6 o'clock news on a steady basis. There has to be a TV around here somewhere to make them act in such a way. They were so uptight. And then I went out on my deck to have my morning cup of coffee in the serenity of my yard with trees, and there were blue jays and cardinals flying together, talking to one another, hanging out together. I even watched two cardinals feeding one another, a male and a female. It was so beautiful. And I thought to myself, these are Christian birds. There's no doubt about it. They've been baptized, confirmed. They are Christian birds. Now, what a difference. Now, Paul was basically saying, there was a time when we were a bunch of seagulls. Well, actually, it doesn't say that, but that we acted like seagulls. Because listen what he writes. At one time, we too were foolish. We were disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. That's the behavior that I saw amongst the seagulls. In other words, we had no problem being unkind and selfish toward those around us. But then Paul says, but when kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us and He changed us. You hear what Paul wrote? When God, through Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, grabs a hold of us, we're changed. We're changed. And it'll be evident in the way we live our lives and in the way we treat those around us. If you're a disciple and believer in Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, and I blame this sermon on Ken Schultz, I was riding with Kenny. He was gracious enough to drive me to Bayshore to pick up my motorcycle that was being detailed. His bike was detailed a few days before. They did such a great job, I had my bike detailed. I have to tell you, my bike's 15 years old, and it looked brand new, like it just came off the assembly line. But as we're driving to Bayshore, Ken says, you know, Pastor, I want to share something with you. I got this revelation. I get nervous when people tell me that. But I trust Kenny. And he says, I don't know. I think God put this on my heart. He says, there's this song that keeps popping up in my head that was sung by a 60s pop artist named Jackie DeShannon. Put a little love in your heart. How many remember that song? You're old. Oh, okay. The young kids are going, put a little Jackie who? Jackie Kennedy? No, Jackie DeShannon. And some of you may remember it, many of you do. And I believe as I read the lyrics and I prayed about it, should I do a sermon about Jackie DeShannon? I thought to myself, Paul could have written the words to this song. I want to read some of the lyrics for you. Think of your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see, it's getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart. And by the way, this morning I was thinking about singing it, and I said membership will go down 50%. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and for me. Just wait and see. Another day goes by and still the children cry, put a little love in your heart. If you want the world to know, we won't let hatred grow, put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place, and the world will be a better place for you and for me. You just wait and see, wait and see. And then the final verse is, take a look around. If you're looking down, put a little love in your heart. I hope when you decide, kindness will be your guide. Put a little love in your heart. Come on, let's try it. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Good job. All right. Give yourself a clap offering. But listen, as you could see, my friends, love is the active word in the lyrics of that song. And I might add that love is the active word in the Gospels and in the letter that Paul writes to us this morning. Paul is saying that regardless of the way the world might have treated us, we are to be different if Christ resides in us. Amen. Now, here's the good news. God didn't put a little love in our heart. God put a whole lot of love in our hearts, and He expects that love to be active in the way we live our lives and the way we treat others. Now, I had an interesting picture of a woman that I'm almost glad the slides are not working. Are they up there? Is there a picture of the church lady that I can't see? All right. That's not really her. And I prayed this morning for that member. But she was a member of my church, and not this church, so stop trying to figure out who she is. It was a couple of few churches ago, and she was always rude and nasty to people at meetings and that she met in the hallways, and she was always filled with negativity. And a woman told me one time the reason she's that way, she grew up in a very tough environment, a lot of mistreatment, and this is why she acts the way she does. Now listen, don't get me wrong, I understand that. I understand that if we grew up in a negative environment, that could have an impact on us. It's hard to love and love others when we saw very little love in our lives, but it becomes a stronghold if we allow it. It becomes a barrier in our lives if we allow that to really take root, a bitter root in our hearts and in our lives. And these strongholds could keep us imprisoned in defeat when it comes to having healthy relationships with others. A lot of times when I bump into negative people, I pray because I know something in their past is making them act the way they're acting. It's not really me that they're angry with. They're just have a tough time connecting, especially with authority figures I have found through the years. But maybe in those formative years, friends, somebody spoke negative things over your lives. I've had friends, I've had people in the church say, you know, my father always told me I was an idiot, I was a fool, I would never amount to anything. And I always remind them, that's not how God sees you, and don't ever forget it. God sees you as a precious image of Himself when He looks at you as a son and a daughter of His. Breaking those barriers will change our lives, and it will eventually change the lives of those around us. So, I don't know what you see on your screen, but hopefully you see this. Paul would say that no matter what we may have gone through in our past, today is a new day, or as we sang in our opening hymn, it's a day of new beginnings. Amen. This could be a brand new day for you and for me. You just wait and see. Speaking of Jackie DeShannon's song, we cannot allow our past, friends, to determine our present nor our future. Trust that God is a God of love, and He loves us dearly, and He loves us unconditionally, not based on what we could do for Him, but simply because He loves us. He loves us. He loves us just the way we are, but He doesn't want to leave us the way we are. He's always got better for us. And He wants to place an abundant amount of love in our hearts so that we could give it away toward others and change the world around us. So, God will take the bitter pain and He'll turn it into a better plan. Listen, why would you want anything less? Don't you want a better plan for your life rather than living in bitter pain? Even if it's not your pain, how about just watching the news every day and seeing the pain that goes on in the world? We need a different diet. We need to be more positive in our lives. Remember, our blood type is what? Be positive. So I'll end with these words. And I know that it doesn't sing well in 2018, but think about fellow man being your fellow human being. Think of your fellow man. Lend him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. You see, it's getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and for me. Just wait and see. And here's the good news, friends. It starts with me and you. We could make this a better place simply by smiling at someone else, treating somebody else as we would want to be treated, extending a hand of help and love to our fellow humans around us, not looking down or slandering anybody, as Paul would say, but being peaceable and kind and considerate toward others as we would want to be treated by others. Put a little love in your heart. Put a whole lot of love in your heart and give it away. And so, Lord God, I pray this morning, in such a world in which we live, there's so much negativity. It could get us down. Yes, we could act more like seagulls than cardinals and blue jays, shouting at each other, misunderstanding, not listening to others who may have a valid point, even though we don't agree with it. Being kind, considerate, compassionate, caring, civil toward one another. Finding opportunities for people to see the Christ who lives within us. People wondering, why are we so kind and considerate and compassionate? And then perhaps that will be the door that will open to say, the only reason I could be this way is because of the Christ who lives within me. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.